This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Charles Garfine, we call him Chuck, our Chuck, brought to us by Hawk Auto. Find your next car at hawkauto.com. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. Chuck, a lost weekend in Houston, man, and you think Dusty isn't waking up this morning, getting his morning coffee, going, I just beat Tony La Russa's ass four straight. There's no love between those two gentlemen.
No, it's funny you use the word ass, because Tony La Russa said, my butt's so sore from getting kicked for 4 days, it hurts to sit down. So, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate of what happened there. I mean, it's, you know, I think what we saw, well, first off, you forget that just literally 2 days or a day prior to that series, they just took two of three from the Rays. So, you know, they were looking good and feeling good, playing good, and they go into Houston. And I think what that was first off, a red-hot Astros team that was missing Bregman and Tucker, so give them that. But the Sox team, I mean, their whole starting outfield is on the injured list. Nick Madrigal injured list, Kopech injured list. You have Abreu and Mercado who aren't hitting, and Mercedes is like six for his last 64. You throw all that into the soup, and you go to Houston and play that team, you're very likely to get swept. And that's what happened, and that's where the White Sox are at right now.
Well, Chuck, how likely is this to be a trend for the Sox based on the amount of hitters that are not in the lineup every day?
Well, what I'm looking at is the upcoming schedule, and I think this might be their this might help them. I mean, they got the Pirates, then the Mariners, who are actually, they just swept four games against the Rays. They're above 500 now, so that's a good team. You play the Twins twice, you got the Orioles, and you got one other team in there before the All-Star break. This is, on paper, a softer part of their schedule. That should help them as they try to get through all this and get healthy. And is there going to be a trade made before the All-Star break? I don't know about that, but if this continues offensively, what we saw in Houston, where they scored 8 runs in 4 games, they got to mix something up here, at least in the short term, because it's not working. And you don't want – the Indians are hanging around. So I think what they're maybe hoping is for is, okay, they might make a small change here or there, get their legs back, win a couple of games against Pittsburgh if you can, and just, you know, hang in there until they make moves, until you get Jimenez hopefully back in August, I'm guessing. But, yeah, this is – you know, the offense is a problem, at least it's been for a few weeks. They were getting a lot of production from spare parts. Jake Lamb, who actually had a homer over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Brian Goodwin, you know, Billy Hamilton, he got hurt. They've been kind of patching things together, but to me, this is not sustainable. And you also need Abreu and Mercado to start playing like Abreu and Mercado. That makes this offense a whole lot different.
You see what Chuck's saying, Cap? If you have any issues, the elixir are the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's it.
you get right against Pittsburgh, and then see what, you know, take your chances against Seattle. So I like that, Chuck. I like that optimism, because it is Pittsburgh after all. You want to get right, you can play them. I like that.
I just think they got the Astros at the wrong time. And by the way, Astros fans, Astros media, really sensitive about the cheating scandal. B, no sense of humor. We had fun on the pregame show on Thursday. It was me, Ozzy, and Pods. I brought out some trash cans, you know, talking about the Astros. I had a little pretend buzzer in me. And this got all the way to Houston. And Astros fans, woo, they were not into this at all. They seem to have forgotten that their team cheated for 2 years. I can't believe they've just forgotten that. And forgot that the White Sox swept the Astros in the 2005 World Series. Like, that didn't happen either. So I learned something about Astros fans and Astros media that I wasn't aware of this weekend.
So, Chuck, as you look at the team heading toward the All-Star break, is this rotation as good as we all believe it is? Are you still concerned about Dylan Cease? I mean, he's had some moments where he's looked great. Then he goes to New York and gets pounded. With that kind of stuff, that's the one concern I have. Why does that guy not take the next step?
Well, I think he's taking the next step this year, but the next step after that is him being able to beat good teams. And he hasn't done that this year. I think he might have been one team over 500. It might have been the Cardinals. It was one team. But Astros, Yankees, he didn't even face the Rays. I'm trying to get all in my head, but, he is 4-0 with an ERA in the ones against teams 500 or above. I believe he's now 1-3 with an ERA around 5 or 6 against teams with winning records. So he's got the stuff, but, that's part of his development. Now, not every pitcher is just going to be an instant success from the word go. And so he has taken the next step, but that's one more step he needs to take. And I like the fact that he's with Lance Lynn, spent a lot of time with him and Keuchel, these guys who have been there to help him get there. But it's one thing to give him all the words and all the advice for him to take it in. He has to go out there and do it. I love this rotation. I love it. And they didn't pitch that bad in Houston, but there were a couple things going on there. One, Lance Lynn and the Astros, and by the way, this is something to think about come playoff time. You assume the Sox are in the playoffs. He and the Astros are not a good mix because career numbers, the Astros have five guys who've got really good numbers against him, and he's 0-6 with a 60 ERA in his last six starts at Minute Maid Park. So that's something for them to consider. Keuchel didn't have a really good defense behind him. He wasn't really hitting his spots either. I thought Rodon was great. We got to flush that Houston series down the toilet. I like this rotation a lot, and I think once they get Kopech back, that's going to help A, the rotation, B, the bullpen, and there'll be a domino effect positively. I just hope it gets back soon.
Chuck, you like the rotation. I like the rotation as well. But I'd love to get your thoughts on what A.J. Brzezinski said in Vinny Duber's piece on NBCSports.com talking about how A.J. looks at this rotation like the 05. Now, listen, the 05 rotation was good, and I know it was great when we got close. After September into the playoffs, it was stellar. So how close are this group to 2005?
Yeah, so I did an entire White Sox Talk podcast, actually with Scott Pitsednik, on this last week, and we talked about comparing the two rotations. So this rotation obviously has not experienced an October yet, so you can't fully compare them to 2005 because those guys were just phenomenal and record-breaking in what they did in the postseason. In terms of stuff, I would say this rotation has better stuff than 05, and the stats back it up. It's a different era, but strikeouts per nine, 2021 White Sox is over 10. In 2005, the strikeouts per nine for that rotation was 5.5. That's the difference. It's a big difference. ERA, the White Sox in 2021, the ERA is in the high twos, although I might have changed, gotten into the low threes after this series in Houston. The rotation in 2005 was high threes, a full one, higher. But that 2005 rotation just did phenomenal stuff in the World Series and in the ALCS. I mean, here's an example for the regular season. Jose Contreras led that rotation in strikeouts. You want to guess how many strikeouts he had in 2005?
How many?
154.
Hmm.
You could have four White Sox pitchers over 200 in 2021 in strikeouts. So it's a different time, different era. And you could also say the offenses were better back then. The offenses around Major League Baseball aren't good. And I would argue that you could talk about sticky substance all you want. The biggest problem that I see is lack of really good offense on teams that's causing the numbers to go down. But that's just my opinion.
Before we let you go, the bullpen is not as good as was advertised coming out of spring training. Now, could it get better? Yes. But do you think there's any sticky business that has affected anybody in that bullpen?
No. I mean, are you talking about the use of foreign substances? Is that really what you're saying here, Cap?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, was anybody, everybody's doing it in the game. Was there anybody in that bullpen that you look and go, his spin rate, I think, is going to change, and that's got to get figured out because that team's good enough to win a World Series if they get their offense right, like get these guys back healthy. I'm a little concerned about your setup guys, not your closer.
No, I don't see that at all. I will say one thing that Tony La Russa said to the media last week was that, you know, some of these teams like the Rays were just, you know, completely shocked and stunned and not expecting these rules to be instituted this year like they did, came out of nowhere. But Tony La Russa said to the media, we talked about this in spring training, like this was going to be happening. That being said, I mean, there's a couple of guys like Matt Foster is not having as good of a season this year. Cody Hoyer, I really still like his stuff, but just been more inconsistent. I don't think sticky stuff has anything to do with that. I think that's just young guys who are not having good seasons. Aaron Bummer is having, like, the worst luck. Don't look at his stats. Just watch the games. He's having terrible luck. And sometimes, I haven't looked at the stats, but, like, if he's tough to catch. And he's had some pass balls and wild pitches that have, you know, hurt him. Little things are dinging him. He hasn't been perfect, but he's better than his numbers. I don't think the sticky stuff has anything to do with what's going on with the White Sox bullpen.
Chuck, have a great day, man.
Sounds good. I will. I don't want to see you in the office. I miss you, Cap, but good talking to you.
You too. Miss seeing you. I don't know when I'll be in the office, but I will certainly be working. So have a great day, man.
Miss you, Chuck.
Bye. Yeah, hey, miss you. By the way, are we on FM right now?
We yes. are.
You're very bassy right now, Chuck. I'm just letting you know.
We turn the treble all the way down, the bass all the way up per hoodie.
Very bassy.
Great to be on the Power FM. All right. I like it.
Have a great
Sounds
day.
Good.
See you, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
And again, you can now get us in a multitude of ways. AM 1000, ESPN 1000.
Yes.
The ESPN Chicago app for both iPhone and Android.
Yes, yes.
You can get us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you can now get us in crystal clear HD radio, 100.3 HD2.
Oh, yes. That's outstanding.
How about that?
Yeah, that, I mean, it just shows you the growth of our station, and to be able to get us in a multitude of ways is so great. And, to, again, to go back to my FM roots, really. Being on 100.3 HD2, going back to it feels good. To be back on FM again.
Feels really
good. Oh, it's good. I mean, JR is there all the time with Will Rock. But I mean, but for me, it's good to be back on FM. And you, more bass.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. 312-332-3776. Is the goal for this Cubs team to win this year's World Series? That's a great question. Jed Hoyer answers it next.
Take that.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at CapJHood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on, CapJHood, ESPN 1000. Carm and York coming up at 10, they'll be in for crosstalk. So is the goal for this Cubs team winning the World Series? Jed Hoyer was on with Waddle and Sylvie.
Big question, man. Lots to unpack there.
There's a lot to unpack there. What do we got over there?
Well, we're talking about the Cubs, so it's going to take a little while. So go ahead.
Nice cool drink.
A lot on the Cubs.
Sounds delicious this early in the morning. Man. Here's Jed Hoyer on that very topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this a lot, not on this show, but in general, you know, you sort of watch the first, you know, 3.5-4 months of the season, and you make an evaluation about where you are. And obviously, with so many guys being free agents, if we are not competing, then that's a time that you have the moment where you can you know make some trades and gather some young players for the future. Obviously, when you're competing, which we are, you know, the goal is to win. And if you're gonna, you know, make acquisitions, you know, at the deadline, you know, the goal clearly is to win the division, to make the playoffs, and obviously you want to, you know, once you get in the tournament, you have a chance to win the World Series. So I think, you know, certainly we were open about evaluating, right? Evaluating the team, see where we are, and you know, the way we're playing right now has been excellent, and. You know, I certainly, you know, expect us to continue to play well and to be on the buy side, as we get close to the deadline. And then, of course, the goal is to win the division and to win the World Series.
Interesting.
Is that how he really feels or not? You need to break that down a little bit more.
I think not. Like, I was there Friday night. Wrigleyville was alive, man. It was back. 1,000% back.
Correct.
In that ballpark, it was 98% capacity. I mean, it was crowded.
Mm-hmm.
People are spending money. The lines at the concessions is long. And people are there to have a good time. People out in Gallagher Way playing catch and having fun and drinking beers, and it's back. The money's there.
What about CUPS though? What about the people around the ballpark? They don't want that nighttime baseball on a Friday.
CUBS?
Yes.
Citizens United for Baseball and the Sunshine? Yeah, no.
What about them that want the 1:20 start?
They don't matter.
I love the don't say they don't matter.
That stuff, that ship sailed. Those people are out of their minds.
It's ridiculous that the Cubs have not had more night games on Friday.
Talk to Lightfoot.
Talk
to Tunney.
There's no difference between Friday and Saturday when you have those 6:05 national games that the Cubs have.
Look at that breakfast over at Ann Sather's, and he's in there slaving away, Tunney. You can ask him.
Tunney.
That guy.
Well, I tell you what, man. You really have taken over for Cass.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, LS is a floor up. You can go upstairs if you want to go up a little further.
They moved.
Oh, they're still there. Oh, the stench is still there.
Yes, you can
still,
exactly.
It's still there if you like.
So,
well, you're really taking an advantage today.
There's plenty of money there. They're a wealthy family. They just, you got to make the right decision for the right reason. And when I brought up the name Jose Berríos.
Berríos.
He's got one more year of team control. He's 27 years of age. Just turned it May 27.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's a monster. He's a really, really impactful pitcher.
Okay, that's one. Now what else do you want to do? Because here's the thing that you don't want. I'm going to tell you the obvious, and I'll tell Cub fans the obvious. You don't want to have your bats freeze up. The best thing about the Cubs season so far for me is the new Cubs that are on the team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best part. That's the most interesting thing about the Cubs to me is the infusion of new talent, young talent, the Wisdoms, the Marisniks, guys like that, because they don't give a damn about what you've gone through the last few years.
They need Horner back and they need Duffy back.
That's the best part of the Cubs to me,
mm-hmm.
because when I see those interchangeable parts, it doesn't feel like the same. Now, this series against the Marlins was not good. No. But I will tell you, going on another road trip, you remember last time the Cubs went on an extended road trip, it was decent, 3-4, you'll take it, right? Mm-hmm. The West Coast road trip, you'll take it. But I like to see the Cubs, if they can, turn the corner. Can they? A lot of focus on, like, you know, on Hayward and some of the other veterans that are not hitting well now. But the young guys, that makes a difference to me.
Okay, Chris Bryant, who's had a really good year, really good.
All-star Chris Bryant.
Do you know what Chris Bryant's hitting in the month of June? And not a small sample size. 55 at-bats.
What is it?
127.
Yep. First place, though.
Last 7 days, 056. Last 15 days, 125. Last 30 days, 234. With an OPS of 642. It's time to kick it in gear, kid.
Tough part of the schedule to do that, though. Got to figure it out.
Hold on a minute. You want $30 million a year or 35? Let's get your ass moving.
Do you understand why that this is kind of a, and this is JR too. This is a slippery slope because you're trying to figure out what this Cup team is going to be and who's going to be part of this team for the future.
Correct.
See, this is why I can't stand here today like Chris Bryant's the guy, pay him. I say yes, especially if he turns the corner. Someone has to be the cornerstone of this franchise. Somebody has to be. Who? That's the question.
You sound like the owl from last week. But yes, I don't know. I don't know. And at what point do you draw that line? You have to make a decision by a certain point to get something back. I mean, do you just circle a day on the calendar? Or do you look at a streak? Or do you look at their performance? What else is going into that decision, I guess, is the big question.
See, here's how you measure it, Cap. Do you measure it based on saying the Cubs have the best run differential in a bad Central? Yet you're tied for first in a bad Central? Or do you believe the Cubs have actually earned their opportunity to have a few of these players back next season? See, Jed can say he's going for the World Series, but that's a lie starting from the beginning, right? Because at the beginning of the season, that was not the option. That's not what you're trying to do, because that's why you got rid of Yu Darvish. You are trying to pare it back.
Correct.
And to move forward. And I have no problem with that. GMs do that all the time. Like, I'm going to get rid of some of this payroll or some of these veterans and get younger in some spots so we can move forward two or three steps back to have four or five steps forward for the future. I got no problem with that. I don't think Cub fans would have a problem with that. But then when your team's good and in first place, now where are you going to go? See, you don't have Schwarber, who's red hot, by the way, the beer league softball player. Schwarber's red hot right now, but you replace him with Jock Peterson. Is that better? Good move? Bad move? Decent move?
Yeah, I think it's fine. By the way, hey, Jock, when you hit a pop-up and the wind carries it back where if it's not caught, it's a fair ball, and you're trudging back to the dugout, that was garbage.
Yep.
Garbage. And there were people booed. They were not happy with that. Now, he got removed from the game. Was that David Ross, great dude. He's never going to throw his guys under the bus. He'll handle it internally. Was he removed for a double switch because you're getting pummeled? Was it to send a message? Was it a combination of both? He was back in the lineup on Sunday. He had two homers on Friday, and everybody's all hippity-hoppity happy because he does that little stutter into third base. You lost 10-2, dude. Come on, man.
That's Dodger swagger that he brought to the Cubs.
Yeah. They swaggered their way to a 21-3 ass-whipping in the first 2 days of the series. Here is Jed on potential contract extensions.
Obviously, we're going to have a lot of discussions with Tom and Crane about it, but I mean, I think that this is sort of my decision and our baseball operations decision about, which guys to extend and which things make sense for us. And, I think it's important. Like, we have to make good decisions. You can't make emotional decisions. You have to make good decisions. And ultimately, Tom has been wonderful with Theo and now with me about allowing us to do that. And I think that's the mark of a great owner, that, not sort of putting your thumb on the scale and making those decisions, but allowing you to do your job and then evaluating you after you do that.
That's a fine, by the way.
Yep, I'll throw the money up.
Come
there.
On, put it
Forgot
on.
Forgot to turn the
Jeez.
Ringer off. You realize how much money's up there now? I mean, it's just stupid.
Danny, first day back, he wants to go back to Florida now. He's had enough.
It was so smooth until that point.
A brick in the face.
Da, 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 da. Oh, God!
I'm like,
call you back.
Be kidding me.
Bruce, call you back. Does he not know that you're on the air?
It was not Bruce.
Okay.
Was it an agent?
It was not an agent.
Did you piss someone off?
No.
Okay.
Was it Secretariat?
Might have been. Okay, that's why. That's worth the fine. Another fine.
No question.
So you heard what Jed said there.
Correct. And he said you can't make emotional decisions.
Money? Money? Is the money available if you want to spend money?
From what I'm hearing, yes. Now, look, are they going to go give $250 to Chris and $250 to Javi and $100 to Rizzo and Wilson gets $100? No, they're not. And I understand that. I do. You can't sign everybody. And you haven't been, it's not like you're coming off three straight World Series appearances. They haven't been back there since 16. And multiple times their offense has been broken.
Cap, we're going to talk about this all summer until we get to the deadline. I'm not sure what kind of deal you're making, because if I'm the Cubs, I cannot afford to give away some of my, what I think is top prospects.
Correct. But what if I said to
you, I can't do it, man.
Okay, I'm going to paint a scenario for you. And next time we get Jesse on, I'll ask him this.
Mm-hmm.
I would sign Wilson Contreras.
That's fine.
Wilson Contreras is staying in my uniform. He's a great dude. He's a leader. He's passionate. And he's a damn good player.
You're talking about the offseason moves. I'm talking about July 31st.
Well, I'm talking about I'm getting Wilson done now.
Locking him
in. And then I could take my top catching prospect, Miguel Amaya, and put him in a deal. He's a top 100 player. Put him in a deal to go get me Jose Berríos. And then there's no reason I can't re-sign that guy. He's got one more year of control. He's 27 years old. He's a stud. He's Javi's brother-in-law, for crying out loud. Bring him in and keep him.
So you're sure that you're good enough to beat the Dodgers and the Giants in the playoffs? You're good enough to beat the Mets in the playoffs? It's not that many good, strong contenders in the National League. The Cubs are one of them. I'm just saying, in a playoff scenario, if you make these deals, is your starting rotation strong enough to get it done? That's the big question. And then the next question is, you sure your bats won't freeze up in October?
It's a valid concern.
Have we not seen this time and time again?
We have. It's a valid concern.
I said, like, you can make that move, Cap, but if it's just a lateral move and you're not getting better, like a deep run in the playoffs, then what is this? What are we talking about here? What do you want to do? You are a guy that's all in, though. That's the difference. Because you want to push all your chips in the middle of the table, but you got to think about today and the future.
Tomorrow's promised to nobody.
Correct.
You can think, well, you know what? We'll do this, and next year we'll go for it, and all of a sudden you have three guys go down with injury. Right now, today, it is the 21st of June.
Yeah.
We wake up and they're in first place. First place.
Yeah.
Okay, give it another couple, 3 weeks, and if you're still hovering right around it, you go, we got a shot here. There's no reason you don't go add on. You got a billionaire family. You do have some prospects you can move, some you won't, and you got a shot. You owe it to that fan base.
So keep trying.
Keep trying. 312-332-3776, shot or no shot, is next.
Cap and Jay Hood, mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. That's why I
see him in my shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see
him in my shot. Shot or no shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse. I checked this out with Dakota Schultz and John Walsh and Jim Miller, the fine folks at Hawthorne. All you have to do is pull in the parking lot. Thanks, Pritzker. You just pull in the parking lot.
God.
It geolocates you, and you are registered. Bam. So register your account. Danny, welcome back. How
gentlemen,
are you, buddy?
Gentlemen, I am super duper. How are you guys?
Awesome.
Well, we're fine until I start working with Mike Flannery. I don't understand. This guy is to my right going after City Hall, going after the state. You sure you don't want a spot over there?
Well, pass.
I don't know. It looks like you're doing just fine now.
Hard pass.
Clearly not. You're doing it on this show.
It's all about football, man.
Well, apparently not. Shots at Lightfoot, shots at Pritzker, City Hall, Springfield.
Tunney.
For a guy who hates to talk about politics, you've been pretty political today.
I don't think I've been political. It's been sports. I just happen to take shots at people that I think are obstructionists. Let's see. I want more gambling money. We're going to make you drive to a particular place where you're going to do it on your phone. That sounds intelligent.
This portion of Cap and Company brought to you, Cap and Jay Hood brought to you by Outkick.
My on the EIB number. Danny.
Come on, Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Well, speaking of moving the Bears, let's start there on this edition of Shot or No Shot. So according to Forbes magazine, your Chicago Bears are the 7th most valuable franchise in the NFL and the 18th most valuable sports franchise in the entire world. Their estimated value, $3.5 billion with a B dollars. According to some experts, with a world-class stadium, the Bears could become the most valuable sports property in all of sports. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the McCaskey family are looking to move the team to Arlington Heights with the end goal of selling the franchise.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot. George has been pretty consistent that this is a family treasure, and we have no interest in selling it. And I remember asking him at a luncheon that I hosted where he was one of the guests. I said, George, a guy just walked in. He's got $4 billion right there, cashier's check. Not interested. I go, five, not interested. They get this stadium deal done, there will be plenty of money for every McCaskey to have a really good time.
I will say no shot. You know the McCaskeys want to keep that in house. And the other thing is, too, is that after they would sell, what would they do?
Right. They don't have like...
They would have $7 billion. That's what they would do. Live on a beach.
And then what?
What do you mean and
then
what?
That's not who they are. Do you know that Virginia McCaskey still lives in the house the kids grew up in what, Des Plaines? It's not like she's got some mansion with all these... She lives in the same small house they raised the kids in.
But that's Virginia, right? Like, we saw what happened with the Blackhawks. When Pops passed away,
yeah,
They changed everything Pops did. So maybe Virginia's like, hey, we're going to keep the purse straps tight, and we're going to live in the same house, and we're not going to be, you know, over the top extravagant. Once, you know, she goes and it's their decision to make, maybe things change. They go a different direction.
I just want to know what else they would be doing. Like, it's not like you and me, Danny. Like, we would be swimming that money like Scrooge Duck, right?
But what do you mean? What do they really do? They own the Bears. I mean, it's not like they've done anything else. It's not like Jerry Jones where they made their money somewhere else. Their whole fortune's the Bears. It's not like they have this incredible, like, business that they've run, and they're incredible business people.
That's the point. They got nothing else to do.
So they'd have billions of dollars to do whatever they want with.
I don't think they have anything.
Okay.
Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Cap, your guy, Kyle Schwarberg of the Washington Nationals. He hit 3 home runs. He tied a major league record with 5 home runs in 2 games. I ask you, specifically you, Cap, shot or no shot, Kyle Schwarber is still a beer league softball player.
Is he a guy I'd run to sign? No.
That's not what he asked you.
He's a guy who will hit you a bunch of home runs. He's still, what, hitting 240? And that's with a red-hot tear?
So?
He's very pedestrian defensively.
So? The answer?
He's got a gun, though. He can...
He's got a great arm.
So the answer is? Just say it. He's still a beer league softball player. Take that, Sylvie. Just say it.
I mean, he leans in that direction. He gives you a bunch of home runs.
You don't paint in shades of gray, Cap. You're black or white. Is he a beer league softball player? Don't dance around it.
He's a professional baseball player who gives you an honest day's effort every day. Would he want? Would he be a guy I'd sign?
Today.
No.
Senator Kaplan, you're out of order. I'm just telling you right now.
I'm out of order. Your whole process is out of order.
He is not a beer league softball player. I disagree. So take that. He's a fine baseball player. And you know what? He was one of the heartbeats of the Chicago Cubs during the championship years.
Yeah, the 4 games that he played in?
The division championships matter, don't they?
Whatever.
Hey!
Danny!
Oh, now you're that guy. You're bereft of championships of any kind for a long time. Now you set aside the division championship like it's some, you know, like some secondary or third award. That's big. To get into the playoffs?
The division championship?
You died for that
for years.
It's
like thinking you're going to have a really hot night on Saturday and you get shut down. No. Come on.
Not shut down. Second base, third base.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Most nights you didn't even get to first base.
Danny.
You had Sports Central.
Gentlemen, Doc Rivers.
You had to work.
Did.
You couldn't get to first base. I'm too tired.
Big in the nursing home, so. Danny.
Gentlemen, Doc Rivers has 29 losses with a chance to clinch a playoff series. That's the most losses by a head coach in NBA history with a chance to clinch a series. He is a .341 win percentage, which is the worst all time among coaches with 20-plus games. Jeff Goodman, who's a basketball guru, tweeted earlier today, Ben Simmons shoulders some blame for his perimeter shot not making progress, but a big part of the blame has to fall on the coaching staff and the management not making sure Simmons worked on his shot, instilling confidence, taking reps in regular season so it didn't get to this point. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, Doc Rivers is to blame for both the 76ers playoff exit and the non-development of Ben Simmons' offensive game.
Well, no, that was the previous regime that didn't work on that. He promised
Brett Brown.
He promised Brett Brown that I would work on my threes. I'll try to shoot 1 3 a game. He didn't do it. Now, maybe Brett Brown didn't understand that he has some kind of block or some kind of mental hurdle or whatever, but that's the previous regime. Doc inherited a guy that was not willing to shoot the basketball. Now, Doc is at fault because Doc is the head coach, but that also falls on the team and Ben Simmons as well. And how can you go to the basket and be like, no, I'm kicking it out, brother. Just put the layup in. Just dunk the basketball.
I told you the stat earlier, in case somebody just tuned in. Ben Simmons has made 5 shots outside of 10 feet in 34 career playoff games.
Come on, man.
5. He's not a threat.
If you know that, by the way, if you're management, if you know this, then why do you pay him that kind of money? Like, he'd get escalators in the contract I would give him. Like, here's how many shots you have to make to be able to get this. I know the Players Association wouldn't like that.
They would never allow it.
I understand that, but that would be my initial idea to his agent. Like, if you're not going to shoot the basketball, then what are you out there for?
What was the name of the guy that gave them all the draft picks they fired in the process?
Sam Hinkie.
Yeah. Thank you. Sam Hinkie. Here, in the last decade, they've picked Turner Bridges, Michael Carter-Williams, Okafor, Alfred Payton, Nerlens Noel, Ben Simmons, Markel Fultz, and Joel Embiid. Those are all their number one picks. Other than Embiid, give me another guy they hit on. Not one.
None. I can't think of any.
That's all lottery picks.
Yeah.
All of them. So that's not the be-all, end-all. Daniel.
I mean, Doc gets some of that, but to me, the Brown regime, Brett Brown, didn't develop any either.
Nobody.
There's no development there.
Agreed.
Gentlemen, I take you back to Wrigley Field, where the Marlins beat the Cubs 11-1 on a beautiful day at Wrigley on Saturday. A ball was hit into the bleachers early in that game, and John Kim of the Chicago Tribune was able to get an incredible picture of the chaos that ensues when a ball enters the stands at Wrigley. One woman in the picture was so oblivious to the chaos because she was on her cell phone. The picture, of course, went viral. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot, you've ever been so into something on your phone that you were completely oblivious to the world around you? I'll tweet out the picture. You can follow me at DZetterman. I put it up on the screen for you boys. As you can see, the ball is being hit into the bleachers at Wrigley Field for a home run. Everyone is going nuts except this one young lady in the sleeveless shirt and the
that's
John
called
Lennon
a tube top.
Sunglasses, who is just staring at her phone. Now, John Kim, if you follow him on Twitter, he's a great photographer. He had like 6 or 7 of these pictures where the ball's like moving at different positions, and this young lady did not move once. What you see is her just staring at her phone, and she is oblivious to the world around her. So I ask you guys, has that ever happened to you? You've been so into the phone that you had no idea, including chaos, what was going on around you.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened, nothing to that degree.
Oh, I don't know about you, buddy. You get pretty much in your phone pretty much all the time. I would imagine if there's an important text, you're looking at your phone. I never do that because my phone's in my pocket.
Yeah, I would not be looking at my phone sitting in the bleachers on a ball because I'm watching the game, but I enjoy the game. I like what's going on in the game. And a guy hits a ball in the stands and I hear it's coming at me? Yeah, no, I don't think that would be me.
What about the kid right there, Danny? What about the kid to the right there? If nothing else, he heard the home run.
He's just trying to figure out why these big people around him are going crazy.
He's got the...
Why do they keep drinking all this liquid?
And he's like, where's this snake? I was promised a snake. Where's the cup snake?
That's amazing. She has no idea what's going on.
None.
Yeah, that's you.
I'd like to get her on the air. I'd like to find out.
Oh, you like to get her on the air?
Learn to be able to disconnect a little bit.
That's the female Kaplan right there.
Oh, stop.
That's not you, Sid, right there?
Not at a baseball game.
I don't know, man. If it's an important text, you're looking at it.
I've been at baseball games with you in spring training. The White Sox gifted us 2 of the best seats that I've ever had to a baseball game in my entire life.
Right.
And you spent 90% of that time texting on your phone.
No, I did
and
not.
And I'm not even exaggerating.
That's
besides the
so
fist bump to Rick Renteria, you were on your phone literally 90% of the time.
That's so not true.
I promise it's true.
Not true.
Guess
true?
Where I'm sitting. Look where I'm sitting. Front row seats. Eloy is huge. You should see where I'm sitting. That was the text to everybody.
Now, Cap, now having said that, if that's not true, you can easily give your phone up at the Van Gogh thing. I mean, if you don't really need it. If that's not true, you can easily just give the phone up for a couple hours, right?
Yeah, I've agreed to.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
If it makes my wife happy, I agreed to.
She really demanded it, huh?
We had a discussion this weekend.
No, I think that was a chit. It wasn't a chit-chat. It was a chit. And she did all the talking.
Pretty much.
You're going to give the phone up, and that's the end of that. I guess I'll give it up then.
She gave me an option. Either she holds the phone or I leave it in the car. And I'm like,
leave it in the car.
Zero chance of that happening. You can hold the phone.
Wow. As I mentioned, JR, a chit. It was no option. It was no chat. It was a chit.
Can I throw in a shot or no shot? Cap's going to get a burner phone by then.
You're going to get a shady burner phone?
Buy one at the White Hen.
This one here has got really clear HD. and it says the Cubs 3, Padres 1. How about that?
Take that.
2-2 pitch. Put it back in your phone.
Can you imagine if she looked over at me and I had another phone in my hand?
Like a magician.
She's a freak. Nope, I've agreed. I am all in on Van Gogh. All in.
Wow. So that means it's going to be, what, 40 minutes, 45 minutes?
From what I'm hearing, because you kind of get to walk around then and look at the exhibit, it'll be about a little over an hour.
Okay. You can handle that.
All in.
That's good. That's good. Live life like a shark. A shark without a phone.
Just keep moving. A shark.
Without a phone.
Calvin Johnson wanted out.
He looks like Bert Blylevin.
That and your calls. Next.
His beard is rare.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Hey, tonight I will be in Niles. It's a final call for anyone interested in watching the Northsiders play in Milwaukee from a suite with me and Hoodie. I'll be at the Howard Street Inn tonight. Your chance to win a spot on the trip brought to you by Miller Lite. It's a viewing party. We'll watch baseball. We'll watch whatever's on. And we'll have some fun. I do trivia. We had a great time at the Gambler in McHenry. On Thursday night, we had a great crowd out there. We picked our winners right on the spot. And so really looking forward to it. Hoodie and I on the 30th are going on the I-94 rivalry trip. We're taking a luxury Windy City Limos motor coach up to, what do they call it, American Family Field now?
That's correct.
Miller cheaping out or something? Why did they get
Don't
rid
worry
of it?
About it. Just keep it moving.
So we'll be at the Howard Street Inn tonight, or I will be, and 6 to 8 p.m. It's in Niles. Come on by. Have some great food. Have some awesome Miller Lite products. We'll do trivia. We've got giveaways, and then we'll pick two winners tonight, and then we'll have our big cachet of winners. They'll get on the luxury bus with me and Hoodie.
Yes.
And we will head on up to American Family Field and in a suite watch the Cubs hopefully beat the Brewers.
Yes. My second favorite Chicago area ballpark. I'll be there with Cap and we'll have a great time.
Right. Wrigley and then Wrigley North.
Well, that's not what I meant, but go ahead.
Calvin Johnson wanted out. Danny was pointing this out to us. And Danny had said, I got to give you props, Danny, probably, this is pre-Aaron Rodgers, probably 6-8 months ago, Danny said something to the effect that players in the NFL could start to become like the NBA and start calling their shots, going, I don't want to be there anymore, move me.
Yeah.
Now, we have not seen a lot of that. There was an appetite for the Falcons to move Julio Jones and his contract out because they're in a bit of a rebuild. We have not seen Aaron Rodgers moved yet. The NBA is far more, James Harden said, I'm going to Brooklyn. You're not trading me to Philly. You're not trading me anywhere else. I want to go play in Brooklyn. And so he facilitated that request. They got him to Brooklyn.
Yeah, a lot more player movement, more AAU type movement in the NBA.
Correct. And in the NFL, we haven't seen it quite play out that way, but it might be trending in that direction. But Danny, Calvin Johnson actually wanted out, and the Lions said, stick it. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, so over the weekend, he came out, and he said that he wanted to keep playing football. He asked them to release him or let him go to another team, and they told him they wouldn't do that. And it sounded like sour grapes because he went on to say, you know what, it sucks that they didn't let me go, but look at it now. They let Matthew go, meaning Matthew Stafford. But hey, you know, it's just what it is, he said. But if Calvin Johnson was playing in today's NFL, mm-hmm. I bet you he would still be playing in for a team other than the Lions. But back then, when he wanted off the Lions, the players didn't have the type of power they do today.
You know, when I saw this story last night, Danny, what I was thinking was, if you're Calvin Johnson, if you don't want to play for the Lions anymore, retire and then come back. to another team.
But don't they still own his rights? I think they'd still own his rights, because otherwise you'd see players do that all the time. Like, in that case, why wouldn't Aaron Rodgers just retire right now and then come back wherever he wanted?
Yeah, I guess I thought that might be an option. I guess it's not, though, because that makes sense. I just, you know, for Calvin Johnson, though, for him to go out, he didn't want to. He wanted to continue to play, but he did not. He and Barry Sanders, it's all right, Hall of Fame.
And their body doesn't take as much of a beating.
Yeah. I know that maybe for Calvin Johnson, the missing championship was bad. You know, he wanted to win a championship. It was never going to happen in Detroit, but you know what? You got a Hall of Fame career. Your body's intact for the most part, hopefully, knock on wood. And so there it is. But Calvin Johnson, man, you remember him against the Bears.
Remember that touchdown that he scored on opening week,
yes,
and they called it incomplete?
That's a touchdown today, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That is, that you actually used that.
That was a touchdown that day.
Yeah. It was.
Yes, it was.
And they used that as an example when they changed the rules of, that is a horrible call.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget it.
Man, that was a bad call. He got screwed on that one. I'm glad that the rules have changed today. But Calvin Johnson, difference-making wide receiver, wanted to play someplace else. Lions said no. Like, and so what are you holding him hostage for? Your team isn't doing – you could have got a boatload for Calvin Johnson,
you would,
right?
Think.
Well, don't you think that would change the fortune somewhat of the Lions? If they get to players that you need for, you know, future
draft
picks?
The way they draft?
Well, I know. Well, it's not Matt Millen drafting three wide receivers year after year after year.
Remember that?
It's not that, right?
Charles Rogers and this guy and that guy. Anyway, so he wanted out, didn't get his wish.
That's interesting.
312-332-3776. We'll crosstalk with Carmen Yerk. 2 minutes.
Take that.